Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of McMillan and Morrow. I'm Dr. Sean McMillan. This is my co-host Rich Morrow. We're here to cover the world, tell you things you're not going to hear anywhere else, probably because no one else cares. These are some of the stories that sort of, I don't know, they appear, and he's the guy that tells us about them. So sit down, get comfortable, take your shoes off, because this is going to be a ride, and you're going to thank us when it's done. All right, Rich, what's going on?
You either going to thank us or...
report us.
Or report us. One of
the two. Report us to the authorities.
How you doing today, Doc?
I am well.
You doing good?
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
You don't often ask me how I'm doing on this show.
Yeah, I was like, let me ask him how he's doing today.
You probably only ask him because it took you 30 minutes... 2 hours to get ready for this episode.
Hey.
So you're hoping I'm in a good mood.
Preparation is key.
That wasn't preparation.
Me getting ready to be around.
You were pruning your feathers. Preening. Your feathers.
Maybe. I guess that's what you could call that, too.
Yeah.
So we're going to start this first story off, actually, in Arizona today. Have you ever been? You've been to Arizona, probably.
Yes, I've been there.
What's your favorite city in Arizona?
There's really only one real one, Phoenix, right?
No, there's Scottsdale's too.
That's not real.
That's a real city.
It's not real.
A lot of people live in, a lot of money in Scottsdale.
Okay.
I was just curious. So, according to Fox News in Arizona, an Arizona man was arrested for baptizing himself naked in the church's fountain. You heard that one before?
What was he arrested for? He was baptizing himself. I don't see, what was the infraction?
He was found naked in the fountain of the church, and he was told to leave, but he stayed and grabbed a blanket. And he was taken to a holding facility by police and charged with trespassing, actually. So he got charged for trespassing.
So he broke into the church?
I guess so. And he got charged with indecent exposure.
So he was in there swimming?
He was just in there, yeah.
Oh, well.
I guess so. But he said he was baptizing himself. So he wasn't just swimming. He probably, I don't know. You can't ask me how that.
You know, some traditions of ancient Christianity, you did get baptized without any clothes on.
Yeah. I don't think that's what he was doing, though. I mean, they said when he got there, he assaulted two detention officers.
No, I'm off that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is when we hear that someone is naked and attempting to be baptized, it's not completely incongruent with Christian history, is my point. It may not be current Christian practice.
Yeah.
But there was a time in ancient Christianity where that's how you got baptized. You took your clothes off.
So my question is, can you baptize yourself?
That's a great question. I would say yes. In my opinion, you can baptize yourself.
Because isn't part of the whole thing just accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Well, see, now you're getting into a whole bunch of weeds, okay? So I'm gonna go down in the weeds with you, okay?
Just curious.
Hold on, people. We're going in the weeds. I'll come back up in a second. Everybody take a deep breath. Let's go down.
Here we go.
If you're a Protestant, mm-hmm. you believe in something called the priesthood of all believers, mm-hmm. which means that all believers have access to the sacraments.
Okay.
And baptism is a sacrament of the Protestant church. If you are a member of the Protestant church, you're part of the priesthood of all believers. So technically, you baptizing yourself is just as valid as
baptizing.
Right, because Protestants don't believe that you ontologically change
mm-hmm.
in the waters of baptism. If you're Roman Catholic, no.
Yeah.
You can't baptize yourself.
The priest has to.
Because only the priest can do it, because only the priest have the spooky powers to get it done.
Okay.
And once you're baptized, you ontologically, that means fundamentally, essentially, mm-hmm. spooky, you become different.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Protestant, you don't believe that. You believe that baptism is how you are a part. If you're like mainline Christian, like Lutheran, Methodist, you believe that baptism is how you affirm your faith and how you, no, it was not, because they baptize babies. It's how you become a part of the Christian family.
Okay.
And it's a work of grace. Mm-hmm. If you're Pentecostal, neo-charismatic, mm-hmm. you believe that baptism is how you affirm your faith and how you say, I accept the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So babies can't in that regard then?
No. How can a baby affirm, declare its faith?
I was just clarifying.
How can a baby say, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. A baby can't do that.
Okay.
But mainline Christians, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Episcopalians, they believe that mm-hmm. it's a work of grace. It's how you will become a part of the family. So
it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
how.
It doesn't matter if you're a baby or an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, it depends on what kind of Christian you are.
Yeah.
If you can baptize yourself. Here's what I believe. It really doesn't matter. Because a ritual is not the thing that connects me to God. A ritual, whether I do it to myself or somebody does it for me, mm-hmm. is not the thing that makes me acceptable
yeah.
to the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So just because I'm not baptized, God's not going to love me?
No.
Just because I'm not baptized, or everybody who's baptized now what has special whatever?
Privileges.
You know what I'm saying? I think Donald Trump was baptized. He's Satan's sister. I said sister. Yes, I did. I chose my words very carefully. Okay? I know a lot of people who are evil and baptized. I know a lot of people who are blessed and not.
Yeah.
Rituals are, you know, we have rituals and they have their place.
Mm-hmm.
But a ritual and a rule does not connect me to God.
Yeah.
I'm connected to the Creator through love. God loves me and I love God.
Amen.
And I don't care nothing about no waters of baptism, sprinkling, immersion, mm-hmm. transubstantiation, consubstantiation, anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Mm-hmm.
I can go down a list for you. Yeah. None of that matters. You know what's amazing about this? Because I'm about to get riled up.
Let's go.
Is that we have taken the simple religion of the carpenter and made it all this complicated stuff. The carpenter from Galilee was simple.
Mm.
Right? He said, do unto others you have them do unto you.
Yeah.
By this they will know you, that you belong to me, if you love other people. It's simple. We've made it about whether the communion turns into actual blood. And what the hell does that have to do with the carpenter from Galilee? Nothing.
Yeah.
Do you speak in tongues? Do you not speak in tongues? What are we talking about right now?
Mm.
It annoys me about being, and I'm a Christian, but it annoys me about being a Christian, how we've gone straight so far. The hypostatic union of divinity and human. What
okay,
does that have to do with Jesus?
So I'm going to bring this back a little bit, okay? So it makes me wonder, do you think that a lot of these distances that we've covered from the original simplicity of it come from stories being passed from generation to generation to generation to generation? And, you know when somebody tells a story, somebody tells a story differently than the next person is going to tell it, then the next person is going to tell it, then the next person is going to tell it. Do you think that that is something universally with religions you feel has been happening over time? Or do you think that this is just a matter of now that everybody is so vocal about their opinions, it's just being more known that this is how a lot of people have felt?
Well, I mean, that question is a little muddled.
It is. It's a layered question.
So. The telling of stories is how religion sort of finds its way into the world.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with straying away from the essential ministry message of Jesus to what we have now
mm-hmm.
is a different phenomenon. When religion becomes institutionalized, it has to set up rules and rituals mm-hmm. to decide who's in and who's out,
mm-hmm.
who has power, who has no power, who's saved, who's going to hell,
mm-hmm.
right? When religion becomes institutionalized, it becomes an apparatus of legitimacy. That's where you come into this foolishness that we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity would have been better if it was just a story being told from ear to ear and from mouth to mouth. It would be so much of a more pure religion if we had to just keep the story.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Paul, who I'm not a fan of all the time, he's the one that adds all this layer of institutionalism, right? Yeah. All these rules and practices.
Okay.
And I'm saying there's a whole generation, your generation and my generation started it, mm-hmm. that rejects religion, organized religion, thinks it's foolishness. And it has everything to do with the fact that the messenger of the carpenter has become institutionalized, deciding whose sexuality works mm-hmm. and whose sexuality is wrong. Meanwhile, the people who are deciding, mm-hmm. they freaky themselves. Like, they nasty. You know what I'm saying? How you going to be freaky and telling me that my freak is wrong?
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy and all of that. So what I'm saying is, how about we go back, and I'm totally off this guy in the pool.
It don't matter.
How about we go back to the simple message of the carpenter?
Yeah.
How about we go back to how we treat people mm-hmm. and whether or not we love ourselves or love our creator and make that the basis of a spiritual life? Because I tell you this, Rich.
Yeah.
Without a spiritual life, life becomes deeply problematic. A life of the spirit, and I mean, I don't care what your understanding of the spirit is. Nature. You know, we had the guy on who was the naturalist.
Negus.
Want to take care. What's his name?
Negus.
Yeah. Chev.
Chev. Oh.
What did you call him?
That was the name of his.
Wait a minute.
Wasn't it Negus?
What did you just call
Negus
him?
Outdoors. Yeah. That was the website.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember. Because the first time we heard it, we thought the same thing.
No, not we.
No, he said Negus Outdoors, and we looked at each other like.
Okay. Could we put underneath this episode what he said?
N-E-G-U-S.
Okay. I was like, were you a little comfortable? Y'all friends? Anyway. But whatever your sense of spirituality is, nature, whatever it is, I just think that not having a spiritual life, mm-hmm. even if your spiritual life is just ideas.
Yeah.
Like you focusing on whatever, kindness, justice. You got to have a dimension of depth to who you are. Because these are the things that we actually hand to other people that make them better.
Yeah.
What are you giving to your children if you have no spiritual life?
Yeah.
How are you teaching your kids to deal with actual life if you have no spiritual life? Mm-hmm. Disappointment, death, dread, disease, and despair. How does a kid handle despair if he has no spiritual resources? Huh? He finds his coping mechanisms from the world that you gave
him. From the material.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
So we got to give people what they need to deal with the world. And I think to deal with the world, what we ultimately need is the life of the spirit.
Yeah.
Not all these rules.
I hear you. Okay.
I'm just not into that.
I hear you on that. Well, on that note, we're going to go to our first break. And, we're going to continue this in a minute.
How do you know it's time to go to break?
Because I'm communicating. I'm always on top of it. Just where I'm just.
That's
let
a
me,
damn lie.
Let me,
Let's
let
go
me,
to break it.
Let me handle that.
No one does nosy better than me. Photos.
We found 378 photos.
He couldn't what he do because I don't know how he found that.
These are years of snooping, okay?
I know you nosy too. Head over to Nosy where you can watch full episodes of The Karamo Show and be nosy with me.
According to CNN in London, they believe that single people should be valued because Jesus was single. And that's the Church of England that is backing this. So they released a report calling for single people to be honored and recognized as much as couples and families are, and citing that Jesus' own, you know, he was single. And that the Love Matters report recognizes that an increasing number of people do not live in a family or, couple units, and that singleness can be a deliberate choice. And it also states that single people must be valued at the heart of our society and that the Church of England should celebrate singleness and not regard it as a lesser way of living than living in a couple relationship. I think this is pretty interesting. This is a deviation from the church's obvious traditional teachings of heterosexual marriage, but they believe it's an opportunity to reimagine a society where all families and relationships are valued to promote stability to everybody.
That's because the Church of England is a bunch of idiots. They should have come to this conclusion decades, generations ago. I mean, this isn't... Here's where culture is ahead of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because this isn't like a revelation to people.
I mean, most people would be
in the culture. Like, mm-hmm. Of course, being single is as valid as anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all needed to pass a piece of paper to say that? I mean, yeah. And yes, Jesus was, as far as we know, because mm-hmm. we only have 3.5 years of his life.
Yeah.
I mean, he died at 33.
Mm-hmm.
We have him at birth. We pick him up again at 12. And then we lose him until he's 30.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what the hell he was doing between 12 and 30. Jesus could have been a little freak. I don't know. We don't know what he was doing. He was human, people. Don't get mad. Don't get mad because I just messed up about your little Jesus. He was as much human as he was divine. If you're a Christian, you believe that. So we don't know. I mean, mm-hmm. so yes, he was single. The Apostle Paul was single,
mm-hmm.
right? But the Apostle Paul says somewhere in one of the epistles of the New Testament that if you're in ministry and you can bear being single, it's better to be single than it is to be married, which yeah. is where the Catholic people get their whole notion of celibate single priests from,
mm-hmm.
because you don't have all these distractions. But you also have a lot of other problems. You become pathologically mm-hmm. sexual, because anything you deny yourself of, you ultimately end up focusing on, you know,
other things.
Yeah, yeah, if you chronically deny yourself of it,
for sure.
it becomes greater than it should be. But I don't see why, obviously, being single is as valid as anything else.
It should be obvious.
To me, it's not.
Especially if you love yourself. And, you know, honestly, I don't think it should be judged because, I mean, they've come up with all kinds of different sexual appetites for people. Some people, you know, don't want to be, you know, engaging with other people in romantic relationships.
But who says that a relationship makes you complete?
It doesn't. And that's
why
it
shouldn't
matter.
Who says that being married makes you complete? I am whole.
I was going to say, some people are extremely whole.
Yeah, I mean.
And you should be whole before you're with someone anyway. That's.
That part. Plato was wrong. Plato said in the symposium, Plato says that love is the joining together of two halves that create a whole.
Should be two wholes.
And that's where we get the whole notion of you complete me. We get it from the symposium. It comes out of Greek philosophy.
Okay.
And he was wrong. You just said it right under your breath. That wholeness should precede relationship. Because you don't want to date a fraction. You know, who wants to date a half? and now you're pulling on me the rest of your damn life to provide things that I can't give you.
I should feel like I'm at 200% with somebody, not at 100. And that's because they're adding value to my life that I, you know, am not able to myself. And that is where I feel like the value in a relationship actually comes from, when somebody's making you better. I don't want to be 50% and then meet somebody else that's 50% and now we 100%. Because then what happens when that isn't there anymore? What, I'm half a person now? I feel like I done lost half of myself because I'm not with this person no more?
But a lot of people grew up with the platonic notion, that is the notion that comes to us from the symposium, that's exactly how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to meet your other half. You need to meet the person that makes you
whole. I feel like
we
graduated from that now. We need to graduate from that.
Well, yeah, I agree, but I'm sort of identifying the root, the genealogy.
I'm glad
of the
you
concept.
Told us. I didn't know
because
that.
A lot of people don't know where it comes from.
I didn't know that.
It's Greek philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, go and read the Symposium, which is actually a great book, by the way. Even though he's wrong on a lot of things.
So this might be a dumb question, but does the term Platonic literally come from anything Plato was?
Yeah, it comes from Plato's notion of friendship.
Okay.
And that a true friend is a friend to the mind,
mm-hmm.
and not a friend to one's sexuality.
Okay.
So a platonic friendship is a friendship that is based upon something that has to, your mutual admiration and connection to truth.
See, and I've used the term my whole life. I've just never known the root of it. And it's crazy that it's actually Plato. I thought it was just the word.
It definitely comes from him.
That's dope. Okay, cool. I like that. Appreciate that. I'm just over here.
He's like, I learned something.
I really learned something. Because like, you hear people use the term all the time, and I'm willing to bet most of them don't know that it's actually Plato.
Because they're too busy on YouTube.
Yeah.
Although you could probably get the answer to that question on YouTube, I'm sure.
Can, yeah.
But that's not what they're researching.
Not at all.
They're researching Bitcoin. Look what happened to that.
Hey, it's still doing its thing. We'll see what's up.
No, don't do it, people.
All right, we
I'm not, but just for full disclosure, I'm not a financial advisor. I have no expertise in it at all. It's just my opinion. Don't do it.
So, we gonna go back to America now.
Are we done with the baptized story?
Yeah, we are. Baptized story was two stories ago. So,
was that two stories ago?
Yeah.
What were we just talking about?
That's what was.
That's actually funny. What was the story we were just talking about?
Jesus being single.
Oh yeah. It's all a blur.
We had two Jesus stories back to back in your defense.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but let's stay on the single thing for a
while. You want to stay on a little longer?
That's actually interesting for people.
It is.
Because there are a lot of single people watch this show. And a lot of people, we've been raised to believe that being single is a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Something you have to get over, overcome, or be cured from.
Yeah.
And I just think it's important that we, as you suggest,
mm-hmm.
we are reevaluating, reimagining was the word that you used,
mm-hmm.
singleness. But I resent the fact that we needed someone's permission to do that.
Yeah.
I resent the fact that people can't just come to life or come to the moment being exactly what they are and that being sufficient for itself. Like we mm-hmm. say, the day is sufficient for itself. Well, whatever people bring to the day should also be sufficient for itself.
So question, do you think in human nature, aside from the sexual desires that we have naturally as, you know, human beings, do you think it's in human nature to want to have a partner before it's all said and done, and to have a, you know, not everybody wants a family, I know, you know, but do you think it's in our nature, and this is a subjective question, obviously, but I'm curious on your opinion, that people just want to have somebody when it's all said and done to claim? Or do you think there's people equally out there that could go throughout their whole lives not having somebody to call their own and be just as fulfilled?
I think it's definitely the case that people are out there who don't need mm-hmm. to be in a relationship to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
I also think it's the case that many more people
mm-hmm.
at different stages of their lives do want that and need that.
Yeah.
For various reasons. It may not be something that manifests for them or happens mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah.
Or it has happened for them but been so traumatic and crazy mm-hmm. that they shun it.
Again.
They have
yeah.
a certain chagrin when it comes to the prospect of having it again.
Yeah.
I think it's a complicated, singleness is a complicated journey. But so is being with somebody.
It's even more complicated.
You know, not, I would say equally as much.
Yeah.
Because I don't think one is any more or less complicated than the other. When you're single, you got to figure out how to make yourself happy.
Right.
You got to figure out a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
When you're married, you got to figure out all the stuff that comes along with dealing with another person. So you don't get to avoid complexity either way
mm-hmm.
because that's just the nature of existence. Your question was, is one intrinsic
mm-hmm.
and the other not
mm-hmm.
intrinsic? They both are.
Yeah.
We want to be with people and we want to be by our damn selves.
Okay.
It just depends on who you are, how you're socialized,
mm-hmm.
and what your goals and priorities and how you view your life and the world view. But let me say this. Existence itself is going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a struggle. So whatever path you take, know that. You're not walking into a fairy tale. You are walking into a fight.
That's as real as it get right there.
And be ready for that. Embrace that.
Yeah.
Say that I came here to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because the presupposition of battle is victory.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Sure.
You're here to fight. Do you think life should be about fighting, though? Could use a better word.
No.
It's a fight.
No.
It's a fight.
The sperm that got to your mother's egg
fought
had to
get
fight.
There.
Okay? That little Negro had to fight through a whole, we could say Negro, right?
It's too late. You already said it twice.
Sorry, Andy. Sorry, Andy.
Says it twice and then it's okay to say that, right?
I mean, no, it is, creation is a struggle.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't, sometimes we should choose other words. But I choose not to in this game.
Yeah, the only reason I'm playing devil's advocate is because, you know, so much of, I feel like, what's going on in the world, the answer is love, that to hear you got to be prepared to fight makes me think, is there a better...
No. You setting me up good today.
I am.
You know, you started off being trippy, but this is good because love is the weapon that we fight with.
See, now that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, I mean, it is the weapon.
If you're going to use a weapon, let it be love.
It is to me, the only weapon that actually works.
Yeah.
Ego, greed, money, fame, celebrity, sex, those things have a very temporal application and success.
Yeah.
The ultimate weapon in this fight is love. You win with that every time, and you win with respect to longevity. So, no, it is... Being here is what we've denied our kids, and why your generation and the generation after you are so anxious and riddled with fear is that we forgot to tell them, this is a fight.
Yeah.
This is a fight. You're going to have to fight for your joy. You're going to have to fight for your success. You're going to have to fight for your inner peace. You're going to have to fight for your marriage.
Yeah.
Don't think because you got married and you had a great wedding that you're not, it's going to be a great match. You have to fight every day to stay committed and come home. But you can win this fight. This is a battle that you can win. If the weapons, well, since we've been religious today.
I love this.
Paul says the weapons of warfare are not carnal. Paul says they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And what are the weapons of our warfare? It's love. Mm. I will beat you with love. My capacity to love you is greater than your capacity not to like me. And if I choose to use this weapon, I will beat you every time. Mm-hmm. The question is not whether or not I'm going to win. It's how much do I want to win?
Oh, okay.
And if I choose not to apply my love to you, it's only because I didn't want to win this battle.
You spared him.
I wanted to let you have it. I wanted you to learn from your own mendacity. So go ahead.
Which is love in itself.
Which is a form of love. If more people believed that, we'd have much more victorious people and much more happy people. Okay, now we can go on.
That was good. We're going to take a commercial break after that because we just ended that on an amazing note. So
it's amazing how right you know back. About these breaks.
Man, it's just timing.
No clue
it's all
when
divine
to come
timing.
Yet he knows these
it's
things.
All divine timing.
Oh, now, hey, are you claiming divinity? Let's go to break.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
So welcome back, y'all. We are going to tie into this next story. We went on a nice little run there with the single topic. I feel like that one got some juice on it from you.
Juice on it?
Yeah.
What in the world?
Don't focus on the word juice in the sentence. It got you going.
You gotta say that differently.
Just feel like you put a little extra on that. It resonated somewhere deep in there. Like it was.
What are you trying to say?
It was just a little touchy of a subject. That's all.
No, seriously. I have no problem admitting when a subject touches me.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just.
Those were some great points.
No,
though,
I was animated because people watching mm-hmm. this show. Probably a lot of them, if not most of them, are single.
Yeah.
And it's important. I think when you watch this show, what makes this show different than other shows that may appear here or somewhere else
mm-hmm.
is that we're not just invested in the task of just talking mess.
Yeah.
Of just having just a bunch of stupid sounds come out of our mouth and seeing how many people we can get to retweet and to grab the clip, stitch it. Yeah. That's not what we're invested in.
Nah.
We're actually invested in helping people be a better version of themselves and live a better life. So if I got a bunch of people watching the show, I'm going to take time, who are single, I'm going to take time and deal with singleness in a way that they can say, you know what, I have a different perspective, or I'm affirmed in my perspective, mm-hmm. or I feel better having watched that segment. That's what I'm, if we don't do that, then I don't want to do the show.
Hey, I think you're doing a great job, just so you know.
Go watch the... Nothing. Nothing. Just,
all right, next
stop.
Story. All right.
Let me stop before I get a phone call.
Have you ever heard of the term trepanation?
Of course.
You have, so you know what it means. Yeah. Explain it to me.
It's a kind of fear. It's a kind of provisional apprehension.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an intrepidation about something, you have like a negative intuition about it.
So that's trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about trepanation.
Oh, I didn't hear you. No,
but
I don't know.
That was
know
the correct answer to the other one. But so trepanation.
Trepanation?
Trepanation.
That's a real word?
It's a real word.
No, I've never heard of it.
It is the act of drilling a hole in one's skull to achieve permanent altered consciousness.
Okay.
So, check me out. In a recently updated book,
you know, we've been doing so well.
No, trust me. I think you're going to find this interesting, too.
Let's see. I'll let you know.
Maybe not, but we're going to see. A man describes how he dropped out of the conventional life, you know, his parents planned for him, and he took drugs in Spain during the psychedelic 60s, okay? When he did that, he learned about trepanation and started to believe that humans have a problem with the sealing of our skull and how it's sealed. He felt that the brain was meant to expand in adulthood, and that by doing that and not having that expansion, it's not allowing our brain to pulsate and expand the way that it should in adulthood. So he believed that drilling a hole in his skull would be a way to restore youthful vitality, spontaneity, creativity, and life, which people miss. And he attempted it 3 times, but it was only successful in 1970 with an electric drill. So he literally drilled a hole in his head. And now, decades later, he still believes that consciousness is a product of the brain's metabolism. So
yeah, he's a dumbass.
Hey, he believes that getting high is a way to transcend the ego and see people beyond
clearly
their world chains.
Clearly. You drilling a damn hole in your head. If the brain was meant to expand, then that's what nature would have done.
You know, and he's fighting for it to be legalized.
No, yeah, of course he is, because people think that what they think should apply to everybody.
Yeah.
No, I mean, listen, if that, again, I don't mean to be repetitive, but if mm-hmm. that's what nature, if you believe in God, if that's what God wanted the brain to do.
He would have done it.
Then that's what evolution would have already found out a way
to put a hole in our brain to give us expansion.
Oh, that was good. That was, and the comedic timing on that was perfect.
I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, but we don't have that, because that ain't supposed,
it's supposed
to
be there.
You know what I'm saying?
He drilled it right where his third eye would be, and they say it's hardly noticeable.
Okay.
So he opened up his chakra for real.
Yeah, chakra. He's an idiot. Sir. Stop drilling holes in your head.
Whew.
And you tried it more than once, apparently.
Three times.
You were dumb enough to realize that after the first time it's not a good idea.
What would you do if you heard that I did this? Would you disown me?
beat your ass. That's what I would do. No, I'm not going to first of all, let me just say this to you. I'm never going to disown you.
Okay.
You never have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Never.
Thank you. That's good to know. I feel secure.
Don't break the eye contact.
I feel secure in that. I got you.
I'm never going to disown you.
I can handle it.
But I will beat your ass.
Okay.
Okay? You drill a hole in your head, and you can expect me to show up, and it's going to be no conversation. And I'm not going to, it's not going to be like a fight like two grown. I'm going to have a belt like your father, and I'm going to whoop you on your
back. Didn't I tell you?
Yeah, every hit is a syllable. You're going to get a butt whooping. Right. Spell, what's the word?
Spell trepidation.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no.
No, if you ever hear that I did something crazy like this, something is wrong. Come see about me.
But isn't it crazy that people will go to that length to get a feeling of escaping their natural consciousness? I mean, I get it. There's different ways to alter that anyway that people do every day.
Yeah.
But, man, you got to be a bold, excuse my language. I'm not even going to use a word.
MF-er?
I was about to say that.
MF-er.
Yeah.
You can say that.
To drill a hole in your head? Whoa. What? I don't even like getting shots. You talk about electric drill going through my skull. You don't even know if you're going to come out on the other end of that regardless. Anytime you get surgery or they open you up, that's a risk that you take. People are willingly drilling holes in their head, Doc. That's the craziest thing I've heard in a minute.
You cursed again.
Get it again. That's because I really meant it. Crazy.
You cursed again.
Sorry. Bleep it out. We can bleep it out.
Yeah, we gotta have a jar.
All right. We gotta add another jar over here.
For everybody watching, for all the ladies and all the gay folks, we're gonna make them take off an article of clothes every time he curses. What do y'all think about that? All right. Take off your shirt. That's our new rule. Every time he curses, you gotta take some. You're welcome, people. I'm doing this for you. Okay? Every time he curses, you gotta take something off.
Want the best of Mari? Kev, you are not.
Want the best of the Steve Wilco show? Would you take Dave back if you left Katie?
Want the best of Jerry Springer?
Just download Nosy on your mobile device or stream it on Pluto TV, Samsung TV, or the Roku channel. Until next time, America.
They definitely probably sent us to commercials on that one. But we gonna keep this rolling, all right?
Okay.
So we going to Japan now. This one's kind of creepy. According to Insider, a Japanese cafe fired a waitress and accused her of mixing her blood into the cocktails she served.
Wow.
I'm speechless.
Are you really?
I actually am speechless right there because I just.
This jacket isn't behaving.
She might.
Damn jacket is acting. I got the hutch going up back here. It's not behaving.
I know when it's late with the back start and then climbing up and start rising on you.
See, when I tell them the trick is to sit on the jacket.
Yeah.
But this thing is cut high.
So you can't sit on it.
You can't sit on the damn jacket.
Now you got me feeling like my jacket feels
funny. You
know? Yeah.
I'm up here trying to be sexy, but it ain't functional.
So
is this what you go through?
Sometimes.
God. I'm gonna go back to just
I was about to
regular.
Say something, but that would have been messed up.
What were you about to say?
Nothing.
Now I want to hear it.
I know you do.
Tell us.
I should have kept my damn mouth.
Tell us.
Nothing. I was gonna say I usually don't try too hard. That's what I said. I wasn't gonna say it, but you made me say it.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the real Rich Morrow.
That's the real reason that he might try to whoop me, actually.
No, he's really a sweetheart. He really is.
I try.
And you actually, let me say this. You're a lot humble, a humbler. Is that a word?
A lot more humble.
Yeah.
Don't use that word too, though. Yeah.
I was about to give you a compliment.
The humbler made me laugh. It's a funny word.
You are a lot more humble than a lot of people would be if they looked like you.
I appreciate that.
More than I would be.
I like to think that that's part of the reason that I am humble is because I see people that aren't, and it's not attractive to me at all. I don't like that.
See, that's good.
Yeah, my mom raised me better.
That's good. Cool. Now, what are we talking about right now?
We're talking about a Japanese woman putting her blood in cocktails. Yeah. How crazy of a transition was that? We went from just a wholesome moment to this craziness going on over there. So, in detail, she got fired, of course, but she specialized in, well, the cafe specializes in all-you-can-drink cocktails. And one of their specialties is a colorful cocktail with some fruit.
This mic is moving by itself.
I'm telling you, it got a life of its own.
You see that? You see me look, I'm like, why is the mic moving? Is it moving or is it just me? Or am I shaking?
I don't know. I think we feel like it's moving. Oh, it's moving a little bit.
It's moving.
I do see it moving.
Like, why is it moving?
I don't know.
It's like blood, cocktails, vampires.
Right, there's some spirits in here or something.
What is going on, man? This mic is moving. I'm not touching it.
You know what? We might have to just throw it to the next story if that kind of stuff going to be out.
All right, next story. I don't know what's going on.
Like the energy in here around that story. You look. Ooh, I just found one from Ohio.
Okay.
Let's go to my home state. You know what? Cocktail waitress with the blood. Stop doing that. We just going to cut that right there. Stop doing that. You deserve to be fired. Go get a new profession. Anyway, next story. An Ohio man, according to NBC News, he's used more than $300,000 in taxpayer money for a wildebeest, hot tubs, and a roadside zoo. I ain't never heard of that in my
wildebeest.
Life. A wildebeest, right? I damn near sound like a mythical creature for a second. I forgot there was real animals. But yeah, so a fiscal officer in Ohio, he went on a spending spree for 5 years.
Wow.
And he was using taxpayers' money. And this is what he bought. 5 hot tubs of wildebeest.
5 hot tubs?
2 snow owls from England. Windows for a primate exhibit to be built. He must love him some animals. And hot tubs. Gazebos, generators, greenhouses, and custom built enclosures. $300,000 in misspent funds.
Wow.
They said he planned to create the zoo to start a lodging service through Airbnb at his home. And a lodging service for Airbnb at his home. So, you know, he did all of this with taxpayers' money. He's in prison for the next 5 years, rightfully so. But, man, ain't that kind of wild? A roadside zoo, what you think that's looking like? It's like a pull-up zoo, huh? Like a little Ohio safari. You just pull up on the road and got wildebeest, snow owls. What else? I don't know what else, but yeah.
Really?
Would you ever go to a roadside zoo?
Well, let's pause for a second and notice like, that you really went in on that story.
It's Ohio, so I had to give it some enthusiasm.
What that you would give all of them that level of...
I ain't from all of them places.
And yet you are.
Yet I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, don't do that with me.
I got you.
Don't do that.
So, question. How do you feel about, because this story is what it is, but what do you feel about people having exotic animals? Because I do want a couple in my life.
Here we go with the exotic animals. Because y'all thought I was being mean a second ago. I knew what he was doing. Okay? He's into this story because he loves animals.
I do.
And I knew that no matter what the rest of the story was going to be about, we were going to end up with a question about, what do you think about people having wildebeest and tigers and lions? And he already knows that I think it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Exotic animals, I'm not really into the animals.
What about tigers?
See? What about tigers? Why don't you tell everybody how you feel about tigers? Let's just get it out.
I love tigers. I think tigers are amazing animals. It's not my favorite animal. I love lions, too. I even love whales. You can't have them as a pet, though. But
you can't have them as a pet.
You know, but, yeah, I think having, you know, animals is cool if people are taking care of them the right way and they're not stripping them from, you know, their families and things. Like, if you found, like, a stray lion
obviously,
or a tiger, not that you would in Ohio, but...
He found a lion in Ohio. Right.
But, you know, I think you should take it in and love it as if it was part of the family if you, you know, could. Now, if you can't afford one, I don't think you should get one, but that goes the same for
what is it about animals that speaks to you, exotic animals?
I think that, one, they're out here just living, you know, in their literal natural state all the time, and they're thriving. I think, you know, it's cool that they don't have a bias on the way that they live. Like, it's a lot of things to it. I love animals because I feel like if you love them the right way, they usually love you, you know, unconditionally the same way back. And we don't get that out of people.
That ain't always true.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
My animals personally have.
No. Yes, perhaps, but we need to also include in this conversation the fact that animals do have opinions.
Yeah, they do.
And they don't always respond the way we would like them to.
Yeah, that is true, too.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what makes them dangerous. They're unpredictable.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You can be kind to a lion its whole life, and then one day it decides it don't like the color of your shoes. It reminds him of some innate inbred
animal
prey.
In the wild.
Like that, and that's the part that I don't want to deal with. I'm not. Yeah. I don't want no bear waking up, forgetting that I fed it.
But that could happen with anybody. Hell, you could wake up with a partner one day and he or she or whoever the hell might look at you and go crazy
because they
don't like the way that you look that day.
I can beat her ass. They don't have fangs. They don't have like superhuman strength.
But people live, you know, lives with animals from the animal's birth to the animal's death without situations like that happening every day. Yeah, I don't think it's any safer.
Rich, let me tell you something.
God, there was a woman we talked about that tried to kill her husband, what, 9 times or something like that? Remember when Cordy was here? And failed. It could happen with people.
Okay. That's like people saying guns don't kill people. People do.
They do.
But people use guns to kill people. So it's tantamount to the same thing.
Hell, she used pills and all kinds.
We're not. I'm just saying.
Excuse me, bleep that out again.
You're going to get blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get a lot of money one day.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope.
Say that again.
Wow.
Please.
You don't even look right doing that.
Because this damn mic is over here constricting my whole flow.
That's not.
I look like I was on a roller coaster.
I feel like this is a strap-in bar. Are you having a spiritual moment or are you just...
You're
going to be blessed and you're going to get a lot of money.
Okay.
I just really hope...
I don't buy a tiger.
That you don't buy a tiger.
If I do, I won't do it
or
in California.
Or I'm going to have a... Aaron's going to be in your chair. And we're going to be talking about you.
Hey, that's cool. As long as I got that lot of money you was talking
about.
Gets
a lot of money, buys a tiger. And the tiger ate him. And Aaron's going to be like, Duck Shaw, what do you think about that? I'm going to be like, I always knew Rich was a dummy.
I think I'm one of the people that would survive having a tiger throughout their lives. You know?
Of course. Everyone who buys a tiger ends up getting eaten by them have the same thought. I'm one of the ones that the tiger would never eat. Son, please don't do this.
Okay. I'm going to keep that in mind.
Don't do this. Don't.
Okay. So I got an interesting story. What do you think about taxidermy?
Oh, my God.
Since we're talking about this, you don't like animals alive. I'm wondering if you like them dead.
No, I don't want to stuff dead animals.
So check me out. This is what they're doing over in New Mexico. According to KSL News, they are literally turning dead birds that have been, you know, what is the word that they say after they've been used in taxidermy? What is it? Taxidermed? I don't know what the word is.
Stuffed.
After they've been stuffed.
Stuffed.
I'm going to show you the picture. This is a picture. So, they're turning dead birds into drones.
Oh, I'm done.
And using, you know, using it as if it was like a plane and they just putting, you know, a battery in it. But, yeah, they're doing
they're
that
not
to
killing the birds, though, right?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the birds are already dead. I hope so. That
I
would
really
be a lawsuit waiting to happen if it wasn't.
Boy, the PETA people are gonna come out.
They're gonna be what marching outside of it.
Yeah, you can't.
They're not killing them. Clarification, by the way.
They're not killing them.
They're
okay.
not killing them.
They
got a bird that can fly for 20 minutes at this point right now. The prototype. So. Yeah, if you see a bird that looked kind of funny, like it got a wandering eye or something, it's probably a camera and a drone.
A wandering eye. How does a bird have a wandering eye?
You remember, you ever seen Chicken Run, the movie?
No.
You don't remember Chicken Run? You've probably seen it with like your grandkids one day or something back in the day.
No.
So there's a movie Chicken Run and all the chickens get together and they build a big bird to fly out of the, chicken coop because they're trying to escape, which is kind of on top of my last story. But yeah, it kind of looked like this bird. I'm not going to lie. Can people see this? Can people see this? Hold on. I want people to see this bird. I don't know if we could put that up on the thing. But look at this bird. It's kind of scary looking.
Are we allowed to show this?
We're going to try. If they can't, it's going to be blurred out, and I'm sorry. You need to just Google drone bird. And, yeah, but...
You want me to read the story so you can respond?
Let's actually try that one time. This is it.
Let me do it. I'm not... I can't see, though. I'm old.
It's the bottom one.
Joe Exotic has announced his candidacy for the 2024 presidential election, despite currently serving a 21-year federal sentence for multiple charges, including for murder for hire plot. He argues that his current incarceration is due to corruption in the Department of Justice and that he is exercising his constitutional right to run for president. So Joe Exotic is running for president in 2024.
From prison. Wow.
Okay. He also claims that his incarceration will not stop him from running for office, and he hopes to be the voice of the people.
What you think about that one, Doc?
Well, I'm asking you the question.
Oh.
I got the thing.
So I'm McMillan.
Yeah, you be McMillan. I'll be Mark.
Okay.
What do you think about that, Doc? Wow. Is that how I look? Let me sit like you with my pegging all over. giving people a good look. A good look at my package. That's how you sit. Look at my package. You're advertising the whole show.
He even gave you a look, though.
Yo, that was funny.
The McMillan look.
Oh, what's the McMillan look? Little McMillan look.
So, and then you look at me. Okay. Like I'm crazy.
Go ahead.
You really had the nerve to ask me about it. You asked me about some damn Joe Exotica or whatever the hell his name is. And you I'm not even answering that. Stupid. Go to church. A good one.
That was good. So, you got any?
I'm not talking about that.
You have no.
You see how much fun I have in your position and my position now talking to you?
That's true.
Yeah.
It's much better than
we ain't seen you laugh like that the whole season.
I know, right? This is good. You do a good imitation of me. Yeah.
So, is there anything else?
Did I really come across that serious?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm serious. I would say
But before
I'm enlightened.
I think we got like a minute or two. What do you think about Joe Exotic running for president?
I think it's crazy that somebody really thinks that they can run for president, one, after what they've done. Two, he's in prison. I ain't never heard that in my life. Has anybody ever tried to run for president from prison before? We've never even had a president that's been arrested. He's already making history.
We just had one. Satan's sister.
And maybe that's why you think he can win. That's scary.
Well, there are only two requirements for a president. You have to be 35.
Okay.
And you have to be a citizen of the United States.
Why do you have to be 35? Do you think it's because they think that being less than 35, you're not mature enough to handle it? Because they pushing that. They need an expiration date, too. We got some presidents that look like senior citizens and
well,
shouldn't
be. That
might
be true. I don't think you should be able to run in your 90s.
Or you know?
Or late 80s.
Well, you shouldn't be able to even look like you're 90 because that's not
okay.
Good look for the country either.
Okay. That's total ageism. He didn't
whatever.
Mean it. He didn't mean it, okay?
We are the leader. That person is the leader of the most powerful country in the world, as they say. We need to show strength.
There is strength in aging.
Absolutely. But I don't think we've done the best job of. Never mind. I'm not going to go into it.
All right. That's it.
I'm McMillan. This is my host, Rich Morrow. It was a great time today with you guys. Make sure you are spreading love, light, and happiness. And I don't care what you say. It's good to be alive.
He took that from my voicemail.
That's on his voicemail.
Okay, that's what he took from my voicemail. Okay? It actually goes... Keep shining like the sun. The world needs you. See you next time.
Until next time.